Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
10 years ago this month, Hurricane Katrina tore through New Orleans. More than 1,000 died, 250,000 more fled homes that were damaged or destroyed in the devastating floods. A lot has changed in the past decade, and Allison Plyer has been tracking it. She's chief demographer at the Data Center, a group that has just come out with a new report to mark the city's progress 10 years on. And Allison, how is the recovery going?
Well, I think no one would have guessed how well the city is doing 10 years later. We have, depending on how you measure it, around 80% of the population we did before the storm. The metro area, which also was damaged, has about 93% of the population it did before the storm. Our economy is doing really well, actually better than before the storm on many measures in terms of job growth and entrepreneurship and many other indicators.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in a moment, but I want to talk about the people that left. You mentioned the population is recovering, but still 100,000 people fewer live there today than they did before the storm hit. What do we know about who left and actually who came back?
What we can do is just look at the raw numbers, and we have 97,000 fewer African Americans in the city and 9,000 fewer whites and about 6,000 more Hispanics and then about 3,000 more Asians and others. So, you know, the demographic shift has definitely been significant. Even with that, before the storm, the city was 66% African-American, and it's still 60% African-American. Mm. So, you know, definitely a still majority-minority city. And a lot of folks have returned, although certainly not everyone has returned.
And the suburbs have become more diverse. More Latinos moved to the suburb, for instance.
Yeah, so that's an interesting phenomenon demographers call hurricane chasers, where you have, you know, single Latino men who are sort of a very mobile labor force, and they'll go from one place to the other, oftentimes in Florida, following a disaster to help rebuild. You know, our disaster was so massive that there was rebuilding going on for years. And so after several years, a lot of those single men settled down, brought their families here, and now we see an increase of Latinos, particularly in the suburbs, almost doubling in the last 10 years.
At the same time, not everybody is enjoying this recovery in the same way. Looking at your report, I see that white residents of New Orleans are, in fact, doing better than they were before the storm. But if you're an African American who lives in New Orleans, you're actually doing much worse than before Katrina hit. What's driving that?
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. We know from the disaster literature that a couple of things. We know that whatever the trends were before the disaster tend to get accelerated after the disaster. And also folks who were doing okay or doing well actually benefit from all the new infrastructure. But folks who were poor or even had poor health, it's really hard for them to recover. The shock is often too much. And so, you know, what we're seeing is growing income inequality, as many of our white households are doing much better, but black households are not. You know, we see employment rates for black men are virtually the same that they were before the storm, whereas for white men, they're much better. Mm. And it's interesting, you know, down here, if you talk to folks, it's almost like a tale of two cities, and it often splits on racial lines. So you'll talk to white folks and they'll say, wow, you know, city's doing much better, never been better. All these great things are happening. Entrepreneurship, the economy's great, our wages are up, et cetera, et cetera. And you talk with black folks and more often than not, they'll say things are much worse. You know, a lot of our neighbors aren't here. It's been such a struggle to rebuild. I don't even have some of the business networks I used to have. And so, you know, I think that, you know, the numbers that we've put out are really to help leaders and business leaders and elected leaders understand that not everybody is doing well, and that if we want to be successful in the future and resilient to the shocks that we certainly will feel going forward, we need to, you know, reduce our poverty rates, make sure more people are benefiting from the economic strength that we're starting to experience.
The numbers that you have put out show actually some encouraging signs. You've got more bike paths in New Orleans. You have cleaner air. This was fascinating. Entrepreneurship since the storm is way up, 64% higher than the national average in New Orleans. Who are they?
Well, there's a lot of folks who have gotten engaged in our entrepreneurship boom here. There are a lot of folks who really wanted to help the city recover, and some of them actually came here and started their businesses as a way to help their cities, the city recover. One example is a receivables exchange is a company that started here and has actually gone public, and they started here specifically because they wanted to bring their economic clout to this city. But it's done really, really well. And then there are just a myriad of other entrepreneurs. There are folks we have a lot of social entrepreneurs who are coming up with innovations for schools or for water management or for blighted properties. We have techie entrepreneurs, and a lot of them, as I said, are wanted to help the city rebuild and or wanted to help innovate in new important ways to help with some of our social problems.
I'm talking with Allison Plyer. She's chief demographer at the Data Center in New Orleans. The group just came out with a new report that tracks how New Orleans has recovered since Hurricane Katrina 10 years ago. And Allison, I've been talking to you as a demographer, asking you questions about numbers, but you're also a person who lives in the city, who was in New Orleans during the storm. And I just wondered how your own recovery is going.
My house did flood, and I got about a foot and a half of water in the house. You know, a lot of people got like 15 feet of water, and that stood for 3 weeks. And so mine wasn't nearly that bad. But if you get a foot of water in your house, that means you're going to have to gut the whole thing and rewire, and nearly everything is destroyed. And, you know, when I came back to the city in early October 2005 and tried to start rebuilding, there was only, you know, one Home Depot open for 50 miles. Wow. And it was only open from like 10 to 3. And I mean, it was incredibly difficult to try to accomplish that. And it quickly became clear to me that it was better to just move elsewhere within the city and sell my house. So I live in a very convenient little condo on the high ground and on the second floor, and hope never to go through that again. And have you know, that's really allowed me to keep doing the work that I do to help bring all this important information to stakeholders around the country who want to know how New Orleans is doing.
And when you look at your city, you know, put the numbers aside again for a minute, and just what do you see? You know, that's so different to you 10 years later.
It's, you know, it's amazing. I mean, I think, you know, if you go to the French Quarter, as many tourists do, it looks essentially the same. And then if you go outside the French Quarter, you start to see, you know, there's more and more investment. And so the Warehouse District, which is next to the French Quarter, which was, you know, just had a few condos being developed, now has gone from like 1,000 housing units to 3,000 housing units. Lots of neighborhoods are seeing, you know, some level of gentrification. There's a lot more sort of energy in the downtown area. And then, you know, there are a lot of the neighborhoods that we had 50 neighborhoods out of 72 that flooded. 15 of them were poor. A lot of folks talk about the Lower Ninth Ward, but that was really only one of 15 poor neighborhoods that flooded. Mm. And so all those neighborhoods, you know, have struggled a lot to rebuild. And so you can go and see, you know, areas where there's still a lot of blight and abandonment, and folks are still working to recover. So it's an interesting city. You know, I mean, I think we've worked incredibly hard to preserve our history and our culture. We still have obviously Mardi Gras and second lines and jazz and all kinds of amazing aspects to our culture that are really rooted certainly in the African-American population, and they're still very much going on. And it's an interesting combination of sort of preservation and also, you know, innovation. And I think it's making for sort of a new New Orleans, which hopefully preserves all the good and at the same time makes things better than they were before.
Allison Plyer is chief demographer at the Data Center in New Orleans. Allison, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And we'll have much more Katrina coverage. Later this month, I'll be spending some time in New Orleans tracking how the storm and the floods still haunt the city, but also, as we heard Allison Plyer say there, how the city has done a great deal of healing in the past 10 years. If you have a Katrina recovery story that you'd like to share with us, please do. hereandnow.org.